Our kind Father in heaven, now as we open thy word and as we begin to think thy thoughts after thee, as we let ourselves down into the well of thy salvation, we pray that the Holy Spirit might be here to impress our minds and our hearts, make us better people for having sat with thee this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about something this morning that I think is unique to Seventh-day Adventist education. We're going to start off by looking at an experience that happened several hundreds, in fact, several thousands of years ago, as a lonely shepherd was walking along a peninsula in Mount Sinai, near Mount Sinai, watering his sheep. He came upon a sight that for him was quite amazing. Now, desert brush fires are no big deal, but as this shepherd stopped by this particular brush or bush, he saw it burning, and as fate would have it, it didn't burn up. You know, already we're talking about Moses. He stopped and looked at the bush and said, "This is really something that's particularly weird. This bush has been burning for the last 15 minutes while I've been approaching it, and now there's as much bush as there ever was." As he drew near, a voice spoke to him out of the bush saying, "Take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground." As God continued to talk with Moses, he asked him a very significant question. The question is found in Exodus, the 4th chapter, verse 2. "The Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand?" You have to be very, very careful about God when he begins asking you questions. Moses is standing in front of the burning bush. His sheep are strung out behind him. He's got a shepherd's staff in his hand, and as he's leaning there on the staff with no shoes on, God looks at him and says, "What's in your hand?" Obviously, God knew what was in his hand. Moses knew what was in his hand. Moses knew that God knew that Moses knew what was in his hand. But still, God said, "What's in your hand?" Whenever God asks an obvious question, there's usually an obvious answer with a hidden implication, a hidden meaning. And you can see Moses looking at the staff and saying, "Lord, this is nothing but a stick." And God says, "A stick? Moses, do you realize that the world is waiting for your stick?" Now, that probably didn't cross Moses' mind. Just as sitting here this morning in the auditorium, you don't realize the world is waiting for something that you have. And I would ask you that question right now. What do you have? I'm not talking about your basketball ball prowess. I'm not talking about the lovely music we heard floating from the flute or emanating from the vocal cords here this morning. What do you have? You spent 12 long, hard years getting something. What do you have? Tomorrow you'll have a diploma, piece of paper with your name across it, and you look at that. You look at that diploma and say, "Is that all?" That's what will happen tomorrow. When it's all said and done, tomorrow evening at 10:30, when you're laying in your bed and all the congratulations are done, the punch has been drunk, the handshakes have been given, and the diploma's been back, you'll pick it up and you'll say, "Is that all? 12 years and that's all? What is in your hand?" A stick. Moses, do you realize that that little simple piece of sapling, when stretched across the Red Sea, will cause the waters to cleave, and 12 miles length will carry 2 million Jews across the Promised Land? Do you realize that that sapling in your hand, when struck against a rock in the arid deserts of Mount Sinai, will cause waters to gush forth, slaking the thirst of 2 million liberated slaves? What do you have in your hand? A little piece of paper? What do you have after 12 years? Do you have some knowledge? Do you have an education? Or do you have wisdom? Those three things are not synonymous. No. Facts plus a little learning gives knowledge. And if I asked you right now what 2 plus 2 is, the answer would be, see, you're not even sure of that anymore. Scientists tell us that from year to year we forget half of what we learned before. So by the time you graduate from high school, you know 1/12 of what you knew when you were in kindergarten. And that just proves it. You don't know what 2 and 2 is. 2 and 2 is, well, everybody knows that. But that's not education, that's knowledge. Facts plus a little learning equals knowledge. Now you take knowledge and apply it properly, you have education. Everyone sitting in front of me this morning in caps and gowns, I don't know about the rest of the folks out there, but you folks all have an education. 12 grades worth. may not appreciate very much right now. You might think it's the best thing going, but you've got. But you've got education. Do you have wisdom? Coming to God is a beginning. Staying with God is success. We're going to talk about that too in a few moments. Do you have wisdom? Because you see, education plus God equals wisdom. Education plus God equals wisdom. Now, some of you have wisdom. I would like to ask for all of those who are finishing 12 years with wisdom to raise their hands, but I'm not going to do that. Because you may not be sure you have it. And you might raise your hand and not have it. You want to know what wisdom is? We're going to tell you what wisdom is, but before we tell you what it is, let's tell you how to get it. The rest of my sermon will come from the book of Proverbs. Those of you in the audience who have your Bibles might just open to that book, because we're going to be talking from Proverbs. We're going to start with the second chapter of Proverbs, and we're going to read the first six verses. If you don't have your Bible, listen carefully. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. That's how you get it. You don't have courses in wisdom. Have you ever taken a course in wisdom? 2 credit hours? There's no such thing. No one teaches wisdom. It's given by God. And if you don't have it, it's because you haven't asked for it. He will take your education, 12 years worth, and crown it with wisdom, and you'll go forth with that staff, and the world will be amazed by what you do. If you want to be a mediocre academy graduate, don't get wisdom, and you're guaranteed mediocrity. If you want to be outstanding, ask God to bless your education with wisdom. Listen, when two women come in front of you with one baby, and this one says the baby's mine, and this one says, no, it's mine, you don't learn how to solve that in anatomy class. There's no such thing as a philosophy of child rendering that will help you out. You've got to have the goods straight from heaven. And if it's not there, you'll never learn it. I don't care how long you stay in school. Wisdom. Gift of God. And as you leave these halls, young people, the one thing you don't have yet, some of you, is wisdom. The only way you'll get it is on your knees. It's important to have. Let's look at Proverbs, the 9th chapter. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Beginning. Coming to God is a beginning. That's right up there on that thing. That's why I keep pointing up there. Hey, this is just the beginning. That's why I used to always wonder why when you get your diploma, they call it commencement. I figured it was all done-cement. All finished. This is just the beginning. You're just starting. And the beginning is with the fear of God, the holy respect. Your attitude toward God dictates whether or not you'll have wisdom. I'll say that again and underline it. Your attitude toward God dictates whether or not He will give you wisdom. Why do you come to a Christian academy? Why not go to high school? Would it be the same if you went to high school and took one class in religion today? Would that be the same as being at BMA? Would it? You'd have algebra and math and history and chemistry and physics and Bible. And you could teach it at the John F. Kennedy Junior High or high school. Let me just, that's good. You're not sure. Some of you think it would be. The difference between Adventist education and non-Adventist education is in the fact that in our Adventist schools, God and religion are not just passed
on subjects at the end of your experience. The fear of God is integral to the Adventist educational concept. A knowledge of the holy is central to the theme of your education. In Adventist schools, we don't teach secular subjects with religion. We teach religion with secular overlay. Physics, chemistry, biology are subjects that teach the power and creativity of my God centrally. The little walnut-shaped gland here at the outside of your eyeball, up under that protective bone that makes one teaspoonful of tears a day that wash across your eyeball, hastened on by the blinking of your eyelids and draining into two small holes here and through your nose, is something that God made. And as I look at that, I say, how great thou art. But if you don't go to Blue Mountain Academy, you can't say that at John F. Kennedy High. The power and the creativity of God is central to chemistry, physics, and biology. Mathematics teaches the consistency of the God I serve. When he took that woman caught in adultery and said, "Jesus, I forgive thee." When he had Jacob by the throat and Jacob said, "I'm not going to let go even though you kill me unless you bless me." And God says, "Your sins are forgiven," and touched his body. When he said to the woman, "Go in peace," I know that logically, just as 2 + 2 = 4, God will say to me, "Your sins are forgiven." And that's central to my life and to yours. History doesn't show just the battles of the world. It shows the great footprints of God as he walks throughout the earth, showing his kindness and his long-suffering toward mankind. And if you haven't gotten that from your history courses, you have no basis for wisdom. English expands God's communicative ability to us. As I read my Bible and as I read my books in school, I could care less what Shakespeare said. I want to know what God said. As English is shot through and through at the academy with God's precepts and his ideas and his concepts, it makes something out of me, and I fall on my knees and say, "Lord, I've got the education. Give me the wisdom." And the Lord says, "You've got it." It happens just like that. That's why you're here at Blue Mountain Academy. You can have wisdom by asking for it. The next question is, what are you going to do with it once you get it? Why does God give wisdom? Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 16. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? This is where wisdom enters in. Suppose I held out two hands, one full of wisdom and the other full of gold. Which would you take? Suppose I held a fistful of gold stock certificates and the Bible. Which would you take? You see, wisdom is given to people so that they can make good choices. Good choices. Without wisdom, I don't care how educated you are, your choices are going to be poor. Staying with God is success. It's not just enough to come to him, you've got to stick with him. And he's the only one that can make your power of choice discriminating enough to make a consistently good pattern throughout the entire thrust of your life. You see, there are only three decisions you have to make in life. Just three. Everything else is peripheral and satellite along them. The first one is what you're going to do for a living. Some of you have decided that already. The second one is who you're going to marry. Some of you have decided that already. The third one is, what are you going to do with God? Some of you have decided that already. Once those three choices are made, your life is set. And wisdom teaches you how to make those choices. No wisdom, poor choices. There was a lady that was in my practice, and she would call me up. In fact, she even called on Saturday nights. And her typical story would be, "Well, Dr. Neal, my husband beat me up again." So, yes, he did. So I'd go down to the office, and she'd be there, bruised and cut. And I would sew her up, and I'd say, "He did it again." "Yes, he did it again." "Why did you marry him?"
Oh, I guess I loved him. Did he ever beat you up before he got married? Yes. Why did you marry him? Oh, I don't know.
Poor choices! No wisdom! And you've made choices just as stupid as that in your short lifetime, haven't you?
Huh?
Sure. No wisdom. You don't learn how to make good choices. It's a gift of God, and you've got to ask for it. You see, wisdom means that you don't have to go over the same ground twice. Your parents have been over the same mistakes you've made, and you hear them. Your father sits you down in front of the fireplace and says, "Now, son, I want to tell you some things." And you should say at that point in time, "God, give me wisdom to understand what he's saying." But you say, "Oh, no, not again. I've heard this story 10 times. And as he talks, it goes in here and right out there, and it doesn't make a bit of difference. And 20 years later, you look back at yourself and say, "How could I do that? How could I do it?" No wisdom. Your teachers have done all they could to prepare you for life. There's not another thing they can do. The rest is up to you. And if you must plow the same ground that all your ancestors and my ancestors and their ancestors have plowed, you're wasting your time being in a Christian school. Because you're only put here to bring your mind into contact with God's mind so that when you see the deficiency, you'll say, "Lord, I want wisdom." 99.44% of the graduating classes this year are not asking for it. They're standing around with staffs in their hand that are good for nothing but walking through the desert and leading sheep when God wants them to clear the waters and bring forth water to a perishing world. Now, you know, wisdom means that you don't have to test everything God says. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. God had told them to stay close to one another. But we understand from the Spirit of Prophets that one day Eve got wanderlust. She decided to wander away and see what was going on in the rest of this garden. So she started down the path, and there came to her a little premonition that something wasn't quite right. But she said to herself, "I don't need Adam. You know, women's lib is not a new thing. It's as old as the world. I don't need him. After all, I've been created by God, and everything is new and normal. I can go on my own way." So she did. She found herself standing in front of an exquisitely beautiful tree. Gorgeous fruit. And she looked around and took a reading on her compass and said, "I'm in the middle of the garden. This must be the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, I wonder why God said I shouldn't eat that." Now, listen, let me tell you something, folks. When you start wondering why God said something, it means you're in trouble already. That's when God usually begins asking questions like, "Adam, where are you, Adam?" When you wonder why God said something, you're in trouble. That's not what wisdom does. That's not what wisdom does. And I know that some of you have come to May the 27th, 1978, still wondering why God said certain things. You're in bad shape. You've missed the whole point. Why did God say I shouldn't eat of that tree? And just then she heard a beautiful, melodious voice coming out of her. She's saying, "Eve, Eve, Eve."
"I've seen a lot of beautiful creatures in this garden, but you take the cake." Say, didn't God tell you you could eat of every tree in the garden? He said, "No, he didn't say that.
He said no such thing." Standing up for the truth. Young ladies, when you find yourself having to talk to that guy and straighten him out, you're in trouble. You're not showing wisdom. You've not made a good choice. And you better get out as fast as you can. Take it from a doctor and a father. Okay? God didn't say, "No, sir." He said we could eat of every tree in the garden except that one where you are.
He said, "Oh, that's so." And why did he say?
Well, he said if we ate of that tree, in fact, if we even touched it, we would die. And Satan said, my. Imagine that. God said you would die if you ate of this tree. Why?
Eve? Yes. And he plucked another fruit and put it in his mouth. And the juices began to run down his chin. He said, "Eve, I've been eating of this fruit all morning long. Do I look dead to you?" And Eve had to admit, of course, he didn't look dead. The snake, he said, "As a matter of fact, Eve, I've tasted every single fruit in this garden, and of all of them,
this is the best. I would like for you to have some.
Right there was where Eve needed wisdom. Now, it didn't matter that she hadn't been to academy. It didn't matter that she had no PhD degree. What she needed was God's gift. God said, don't do it. The snake said, do it.
Who are you going to believe? I know God said I shouldn't go to movies, but that was years and years ago when movie theaters had more smoke.
Nobody's smoking now, and the people in them were bad, but everybody's good now. So why should I go? You argue with yourself like that, you're arguing without wisdom.
And furthermore, Satan said, well, now, if you're worried about people dying, I told you that I'm meeting the truth, and you can see I'm not dead. Let me tell you something else, Eve.
Yes?
Have you ever seen a snake before?
Oh, I've seen snakes all day.
I was flying around a garden. It's beautiful. That's right. How many snakes have you talked to?
None.
He said, you know why?
And then it dawned on him. Snakes aren't supposed to talk.
No, I don't know.
Eve, let me tell you something. When I was flying around the garden eating pears and peaches and pomegranates and English walnuts, I was a snake like any other old snake you see around here.
But when I got in this tree and began eating this fruit, suddenly I was able to talk. Now, Eve, I'm not dead. I can speak. If this fruit can take a lowly old snake and make him able to talk, what would it do for you? You're made in the image of, why, you'd come just like God himself. Eve, try it. Wisdom means that you don't have to keep trying it for yourself. That's what it means. And if you leave the halls of this campus and have to go out and try marijuana, you haven't got wisdom. If you've got to try alcohol, you've got no wisdom. If you've got to try this and that and this and that, in spite of what God's word says, in spite of what your parents say, in spite of what your preacher says, you need wisdom. You won't get it by trying it. You get it by asking for it.
God will give it to you. The world and its education is expert at making people who ask questions. Christian education is expert at making people who have the answers. Live out thy life within me, said the song we sang. O Jesus, King of Kings, be thou thyself the answer to all my questionings. Live out thy life within me, and all things have thy way. I, the transparent medium, thy glory to display.
Worldly education is expert at making people who are experts on the facts. Christian education makes people who are experts on faith.
Worldly education is expert at making people who are self-centered. Christian education makes people who are Christ-centered. I want to read to you again that text that we opened with, or scripture in Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 24 through 33. And I want you to listen to it from this side of our wisdom experience. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, be filled with their own devices. The turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Do you trust God? Do you believe what he says? Have you asked him for wisdom to crown your education,
to go forth to you that little thin piece of paper to change the entire world? If you've done that, then you're not only educated, you're wise.
You have been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette in order to make it available on CD. International copyright, American Cassette Ministries. To order additional CDs or audio cassettes of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 1-800-233-4450. You may also order from our secure website at www.americancassette.org. There you will discover the largest selection of genuine Adventist preaching available. You can trust it. There is no compromise here. Waiting to serve you, this is American Cassette Ministries, where we've been maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages since 1975. Your testimonies, prayers, and financial support are important to the continuation of this nonprofit ministry. We're helping prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.